I'd like to direct your attention today to the sixth chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And I'd like to read the first 8 verses today for a scripture reading. And I want to encourage everybody throughout the service, just continue to follow the Spirit of the Lord. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to orchestrate things when we don't. So, Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to stop reading there with those first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 6. Now, I want to also ask you, if you would, to notice something with me that's found in the 4th chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, he said, For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now, the only reason I read that verse in Galatians is that I wanted to point out in that, and there are many examples, many verses that I could have chosen there. But I wanted you to notice in that with me that what Paul said there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, that's something that is found in quite a few places throughout the New Testament writings. For it is written. And that's the title that I would like to use for the message today. For it is written. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wrote about the fact here of Abraham having, the 2 sons, one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. Now, Abraham had lived many, many years before this man that we know as the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament and wrote all these wonderful epistles. Abraham lived many, many years, lived and died many years before Paul ever came into the world. Paul didn't know Ishmael, and he didn't know Isaac. He didn't know these sons of Abraham. He didn't know Abraham. Abraham was dead and gone long before Paul ever came along. But yet he recorded these facts concerning these sons that Abraham had, and Paul believed it. He believed that there was a man named Abraham. He believed that Abraham had two sons. He believed one of them was born of a bondwoman, one of them of a free woman. He believed that there had been an Ishmael and that there had been an Isaac that had lived in years gone by. He believed it because, he said, it is written. And we find other apostles that wrote in these letters, in these epistles, that use that term. We find that Jesus used that term several times when he was being tempted of the devil. For it is written. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus in his hungered state to ask for bread, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." When he wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And when they did this, they were referring back to what we know today as the Old Testament writings. It is written. Now, I think sometimes it's good when we study the Bible, it's good for us to remind ourselves that we our situation today is not exactly what it was like for Paul when he was on the earth. Paul did not have a black leather-bound King James Bible. He didn't have that, the books of the Bible compiled into a little small leather-bound book like that, but he did have access to the Scriptures. And he had been well taught in the Scriptures. You know, he had been taught by the Jewish doctor Gamaliel, and he knew the Scriptures. What Paul had in his own possession, you know, we read in his writing to Timothy, he spoke about the parchments and things of that nature. What Paul had access to himself was probably written on animal skin or something of that nature, but he did know the Scriptures. There were things in the Old Testament. These epistles were being written and they were being sent out and they were being circulated, and it took them a while to make their way around. They couldn't get things from point A to point B nearly as quickly as we can today. But the Apostle Paul knew the Scriptures. And you can see in his writings that he was well acquainted with the Old Testament. And so he said, it is written. He was willing to, emphatically make the statement concerning Abraham and concerning him having two sons because it had been written. And he believed it. And there's something that I want you to think about in this message today. And I had read before you how that in the sixth chapter of Genesis, how that the Lord had said that because of man's sins. Now there's something in this, and you may encounter this, and I just want to mention this briefly, but this sixth chapter of Genesis, and you know, of course, people come up with some strange ideas. Sometimes, in a lot of ways, I think the world has just gone mad. And people come up with all different kinds of ideas, but you see in this that it says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. Now, here's what men often do in the imagination of their own minds. In the book of Job, you will find that the term sons of God was mentioned in reference to angels. They were called the sons of God. The sons of God came before the Lord and Satan came with them, is what it says in the book of Job. And because of that, people in the day that you and I live in, people have taken that and they have written it in commentaries, and they are saying that the statement that was made in the sixth chapter of Genesis about the sons of God seeing the daughters of men, that they were fair, that they were saying that angels were reproducing with women. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that what was being said here was that there were, there were Christian men that were taking to them wives that were not. There were those, there were godly men that were taking wives unto them that were not godly. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that sin was really reigning among his creation. I mean, they had become exceeding sinful, just like is said about those there in Sodom. And this really grieved the Lord. I mean, you know, sometimes we may not think of God in this way. Sometimes we may not really realize and see God as a being that feels things. It grieved him. I mean, that's exactly what the Bible says. It grieved him at his heart. And it says here that it repented the Lord that he had made man. And so God said, I'm going to destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Now, in the third verse, it says that God and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yet, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, the Bible just simply tells us that God said that. The Lord said that. It doesn't tell us that he said it to anybody. It doesn't tell us that he said that to Noah. In fact, if you really look at what is recorded in the sixth chapter and the seventh chapter of Genesis, of God's God pronouncing there rather that he was going to bring an end to all flesh, and that man's time was going to be 120 years. When the Lord came to Noah told him to begin to prepare this ark, I don't see where he ever indicated this 120-year period to Noah. The Lord said it's going to be 120 years, but it seems to me that Noah began to build the ark, and he didn't have knowledge of that. He didn't know. God had not told him directly that I have seen that it was going to be 120 years. He just simply told him, I'm going to bring an end to things. I'm going to destroy flesh off the earth because of their sin. And he gave him the instructions there to build the ark. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe today, as I stand before you here in January of the year 2012 and share these scriptures with you, I am fully convinced today that there was a time when there was a man upon this earth by the name of Noah, and in his day, God came to him, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but the Lord came to this man and he said, Noah, I am fed up with what my creation is doing. I am sick in my heart of the way that they have become so sinful, and I'm going to destroy them from the earth. And I believe that it actually happened. I believe that the fountains of the deep were broken up, and I believe that God sent rain down upon them, and water was coming up from both directions, and it consumed the earth and destroyed them in the flood. I believe it. There have been people, and you know, there may be things that we find interesting, but there's a point that I wanted to make in this today. In our day, and it seems that, you know, it happens from time to time, but there are people that are searching for physical evidence. They're searching for physical proof. And there have been things that I have read. I have read where there are people, it would be in what you and I in our day know as Turkey, where Mount Ararat was. But there are people that for several years now, they believe that in the side of a mountain there in Turkey that they have found remains of the ark. There's this big, place there, and it looks like, the measurements and everything, what the ark would have been. You know, the mountain, or the Bible tells us that it rested on Mount Ararat, which would be in that place, and there are people that believe that they found the ark. There was a group of archaeologists a few years ago that they were convinced that they had found a cavity in the earth that held the Ark of the Covenant. Now, whether the Ark of the Covenant was in there or not, I don't know. They were not allowed to do the dig. The government stepped in and didn't allow them to do the dig, and so they don't know. But they were convinced that in this underground cavity, from things that they had read, they believed that it housed the Ark of the Covenant, that it was still there. There was not too long ago I read where these researchers, these scientists, these archaeologists, they had found in the Red Sea, they had found what they believed were the actual wheels and stuff from the chariots of when the Israelites, crossed the Red Sea when they were fleeing the Egyptians. But now, I don't know if they found that or not. But let me tell you this. If they find the ark, if they find Noah's ark in the side of the mountain, or if they find, evidence of the city of Sodom when it was destroyed, if they find that way under the ground somewhere, or if they find pieces of the Egyptian chariots in the Red Sea, whether they do or not, it's not going to change my belief whatsoever. I believe it because it's written. To me, God's word is enough. And there are people today that, they continually look for something. There are people that, they look for something, not only in order, many of them are not trying to prove or to give validity to the things of the scriptures. Many of them are looking for something to try to disprove the things that God has said. But to me, it's enough that it is written. I believe that the world was destroyed by water. And I've got news for you today. And I want to say this especially, if you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God. I want to tell you something that the Bible teaches me very plainly, and I will get into those scriptures here in a minute. But the Bible teaches me very plainly that not only was this world once destroyed by water in the time of the great deluge, in the time of the great flood, and not only were there 8 people that entered into that ark because the Bible says that Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so it was only him and his wives and sons and their wives that were allowed to enter into that ark because they had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But not only am I convinced that God opened up the fountains of the deep and brought rain down from above and once destroyed the people of this world, but I am convinced today that there's coming a time when God is going to send fire down from heaven and he's going to destroy this world that you and I are living in. Going to destroy it. You know why I believe that? Because it's written. Oh, there's so many people in the world today. I know that you've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard people all my life. I've dealt with scoffers all my life. I've heard people since I was, as far back as I can remember. I've heard people questioning that. I've heard people mocking that. I've heard people saying, why should I believe that? Why should I believe the scriptures? Why should I believe the things that I read in the Bible. There are people that believe that the Bible is nothing but a book that was written by men. And you know what? If that's what they choose to believe, that's their prerogative to believe it. God will not force anybody to believe it. But I'll tell you what, today I believe that we have the Word of God, and there are things that are foretold in the Word of God. There are things that the Bible tells us have already happened, and there are things that the Scriptures tell us that they are yet to happen, and they are going to happen. They're going to happen. And whether or not you and I ever believe it, won't change it. It won't change it. I've said this before, I'll say it again, I still believe it. When God moved up on those holy men to pen down His inspired word, if there would have never been one single person on the face of the earth to ever embrace it and to ever believe it, it would have still been the truth. It would still be the truth of God's word. And whether we believe it or whether we don't believe it is not going to change that, because the Scriptures tell me that the word of God is settled forever in heaven. God's word is truth, and God has already things that we read in His word. You know, there have been things that were prophesied in the word of God to happen. Some of them were prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before they ever took place, and yet they came to pass. There were prophets long before Jesus Christ ever came into the world. It had been written that He was coming. There were men like Micah and Isaiah and Zechariah that prophesied of His coming, and told, even Isaiah was very detailed in his prophecies. He even prophesied that He would come, that He would be born of a virgin, and prophesied that this would take place in Bethlehem, and was very specific in the things that He prophesied, and it came to pass. Came to pass. I'm thankful for God's word, aren't you? I'm thankful for men like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. I'm thankful for these men in New Testament times, that when they read those old writings, they believed them. They were willing to pin them down. They were willing in their epistles, in the things that they wrote to the churches, they were willing to say and to teach them from the old Scriptures and to say, listen, it's written. It's written. You can take it to the bank. It's written. It is written. You know, one of the things that we love to quote, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That didn't originate in the New Testament. Paul said, it's written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Boy, listen, the Apostle Paul wrote some gorgeous things about heaven in his epistles. You know what? Sometime in your own time, just get your Bible out and just go to the New Testament and just go from epistle to epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul, and just read the beautiful things that he wrote about heaven. Read the things that the Apostle Paul wrote about the place that's waiting for the people of God when this life is finished. He wrote some beautiful things about heaven. But let me tell you something. There were people that lived long before the Apostle Paul that believed in God's beautiful heaven, and they wrote about it. They wrote about it. And the Apostle Paul, in writing about it, one day under the inspiration of God, he said, it's already been written. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. He was quoting Isaiah. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even entered in the hearts of man, the beautiful things that God has prepared and that are awaiting those that love Him. There was a flood, folks. You know, I've heard a lot of different things. I'm convinced that the flood brought about some drastic geological changes. I believe it brought about some drastic changes in climate. Perhaps it produced the ice age. I don't know what all that the flood did, but I do believe it brought about some drastic changes in what we call nature. But you know what? I wasn't there. I don't have the evidence. I don't have the physical evidence before me to look at. And I don't need to go off to some faraway country chasing artifacts. I don't need Indiana Jones. I don't need to find the Ark of the Covenant. I believe it was real. I believe that there was a time when God instructed Moses in his time to build that ark, and there was someone that built that ark, the Ark of the Covenant, and overlaid it with gold inside and out. And when they brought that, when they had that among them, and when they were carrying that it was allegorical of the presence of God among them. It was real. And when people, when the Israelites would be coming into the presence of another people carrying that Ark of the Covenant, those people would be afraid, because that's what it symbolized, that their king was present, that the Lord was present with them. That's what it meant. Other than what it meant, it was a box with a lid on it. But I don't have to find it. I don't have to find physical evidence. I believe there was a city called Sodom that was full of wicked men that were homosexuals, and God destroyed it because of their wickedness. He sent fire and brimstone down from heaven upon that city, and He destroyed those people from off the earth because of their wicked sin. I want you to listen to this. I want you to really listen to this. If you're here today and you've not been born again, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now, the Apostle Peter is going to go back here, and he's going to talk about the flood. You know what? The Apostle Peter believed the flood happened, didn't he? He believed that it had taken place in many years past. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water the world, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. It perished. Peter believed what had been written, didn't he? He believed exactly what had been written. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The world will be destroyed. Boy, there's a lot of people today that don't want to believe that. But we are living in a world that is set for destruction. You know what? It may happen today. It may happen tomorrow. I don't know when it'll happen. That's one of the things that the Lord told us about it. We don't know when it will happen. Of that day and of that hour, no man knows. Now, a lot of people are saying that it'll be 2012, but nobody knows. Only God knows. But I'll tell you what we do know. We do know that it's coming because it's written. I'll tell you, friends, listen, when it went down in Holy Writ, it meant it was coming. It was coming. I have studied this book for many years. Some of you have studied it a lot longer than I have. I love it. I love to take it out, and I love to read it, and I love to study it. And I love to get in there and try to, you know, dissect it and see what it means. But I'm convinced, folks, I'm convinced that God gave us the truth. He gave us the truth. You know, when I was just a boy, there were men that were preaching to me from this good old book. They were telling me that I was a sinner. They were telling me that all people were guilty of sin, just like it says in here, just like it's written. They were preaching to me that, you know, that people were guilty of sin. They were preaching to me that there would come a time in my life when I would realize that I was lost and without God, that I needed a Savior, and sure enough, it happened to me. Sure enough, they were preaching to me the truth. And then I would hear people just like I've heard here at Fairview Memorial. This was happening when I was a boy. And it was happening years before I was ever born among God's people. But I would hear people testify of their conversion, testify of how that God had saved them. I heard preachers stand before me and they preached that when I knew that I was lost, that I needed to go to the Lord, that I must repent of my sins and trust Him with all of my heart, and that God, if I would meet His conditions, that God would save me by His grace, and He would let me know that I was saved. And there was a night in the 18th year of my life, late one night, when I was down before the Lord and I was crying out to Him for forgiveness. I was crying out to Him for mercy. I was begging Him to save my soul. And all of a sudden, there was something happened to me that let me know that they had told me the truth. God saved me, and He let me know that I was saved. There's a lot of people, that have taken the Word of God and they've twisted it and they've distorted it, and they've told people that all you've got to do is be a good person, all you've got to do is be baptized in water. But you know what? That's not what's written. Jesus said you must be born again. You must experience the new birth. I'm thankful for God's Word, and I'm thankful for His Holy Spirit empowering that truth, making it real in my life. And if you're here today and you're lost, you need to flee the wrath to come, because it's coming, because it's written. It's written. He's coming back. He's coming back. And He's going to bring an end to this world. And it's going to be too late for anybody that's not ready. I would like for us to have a song. It's written, friends, the Lord is coming. He's coming. Won't you seek Him and be ready for His coming?